on that. So, yeah, to be here to see that, that he pulled the screen down the last time. And you won't need that anymore. Let's take your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to remind you just a couple things about this, our missionary conference. We have what we call the Island Builders. Every year we've had some kind of a tag that we wear. And the Island Builders, if you'd like to be part of the Island Builders, it's $30. And this is how we sponsor our mission conference. And it's very, very, very great opportunity. We really want to build one of those houses for $2,500. I don't know about you, that's close to our range at Heritage Baptist Church to put up one of those. And that's how you can help in that. If you would like to get in on the Island Builders, we will have that ready. Is there a sign-up sheet in the back there? Huh? All right, there will be one tonight. Just sign up your name. And some of you that just come on Sunday morning, I understand that. If you'd like, get a hold of me when you walk out and say, hey, preacher, we want to be a part of the Island Builders. A lot of times, my wife and I, we've become Island Builders, and we wear a tag, and that also gives us an opportunity to for the missionaries to come up and say, ask us questions and things. Maybe we can help them out in some way. It's a lot of fun. I'll promise you, you'll just have a great time at our mission conference. So that will be entailed here pretty quick. Take your Bible to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verses 1 through 11. I want to give you a few observations that I've had lately. As you know, our mission conference, Be Real, in 2013 and April we're talking about missions. There is nothing greater in this world today than the call of missions. If people do not hear about Jesus Christ, people are not hearing about Jesus Christ, who's going to tell them? And except for the Christians. And God gave us a great responsibility. Go in all the world and preach the gospel. But there are some things that are happening in our world that are really confusing a lot of people. There's a lot of things that are happening in this world that people are just don't know. And when you read 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 through 11, you kind of get an idea and say, oh, that's what's going on here. That's what's happening. Yes, that is what's happening. And which gives us a greater responsibility in the call of missions. It gives us a more realizing that there's greater emphasis that needs to be put on missions. And sometimes we get in our church and we come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or our mission conference, evangelistic meetings, and boy, we participate in that. We sing in the choir, we teach Sunday school class, we work in the nurseries, and that's about it. And there's more to Christianity than just little Heritage Baptist Church. There's a great big world out there that needs our help. And we can do more than you'll ever have any idea about what you're doing. Little as much when God is in it. And you may think, well, I'm not much. I know a guy named Rick Martin who was not much of a scholar, was not much of a student, went away to Bible college, and all of a sudden God, he was at a conference, and he heard a preacher preach, and he got burdened for Philippines, and now I think they've started, I forget how many thousands of churches now. But just a guy that just liked to play basketball. That was just all he liked to do. And all of a sudden, God got a hold of him, and God's doing a great work over the Philippines, over in Iloilo. And I've seen his work. I've preached in his church a number of times. And it's amazing what God is doing. And so I hope that you'll understand this morning that we are greatly pressed by Satan and imps of hell to try to keep us from doing what God has called us to do. And may I say, let us rise up, Christians, and let us do what God wants us to do. We are living in an age of false prophets and false teachers. This world has never seen such an onslaught of so many cults. Isms. One man said there's so many isms and shakers and fakers out there, just unbelievable. Many of them have the multimedia, the television, and boy, they're putting stuff out. And every once in a while, I'll just flick around that channel, and I'll see some of that stuff that's going on. And say, where in the world did they get that? That's not in the Bible. I've never read anything like that. Where in the world did they get that? And they're telling it as truth and trying to get you to understand that it's truth. It's not truth. One man said, you tell a lie long enough, and they'll believe you. And so that's what's happening in our world today. The earth is so indoctrinated by the wildest things that men have come up, things that people dream up today that are weird things and crazy things, and people are being sucked in by it because they don't know the Word of God. They don't take time every day to study the Word of God and prove the things. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. America has become like England, a land of agnostics, no knowledge. We can't be sure of God, and so I guess there's no God. A group of university students back in the 1800s attended the great Charles Haddon Spurgeon's church. And as they were leaving, Spurgeon spoke to them, asked them if they were Christians. And their spokesman said, oh no, we're agnostics. Well, Spurgeon said, sirs, that name fits you perfect. Ah means no, and gnostic means knowledge. Truly your name fits you all. And the spokesman said, what do you mean by that? Well, according to what you tell me, you have no knowledge. You're a bunch of ignoramuses. And Spurgeon walked off. Amen. And Rick and I were talking about that last night. You know, our country is becoming agnostic. They don't believe nothing. They don't care about nothing. As long as they get good prices for food and low prices for gas, they'll follow anybody to their destruction. All they care about is me. All they care about is, you know, I. Gimme. You know, by the way, the government is not your daddy. Thought I'd just tell you that today. 2,000 years ago, Paul hit it right on the nose when he wrote to his young preacher boy, Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Doctrine. People get really scared about doctrine. Doctrine is just teaching. Doctrine is the facts. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they get people that will speak to them. You've seen him preach on TV, that great big globe behind him, and oh, he speaks so eloquently. And he's so pretty in all his makeup. Listen to him carefully. He lies a lot. You say, but preacher, he says some nice things. Yeah, but he lies a lot. It is not in the Bible. He's feeding people poison. You say, oh, come on, preacher, get over that. They shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So, why should we be surprised when this is really mounting up today in our society? I want to give you a brief history of the events, and I think it will help you have some peace of mind during these very trying days on planet Earth and the things that are going to be coming to you. Whether you like it or not, things are going to get worse. You understand that, right? I was sitting in the office with the sheriff about 4 years ago, and the sheriff said to me, he says, boy, chaplain, he says, man, it's got to get better. I said, what are you talking about? He said, man, he said the crimes in Cassidy County and Montana and the world, he said, it's crazy. He said, it's got to get better. Doesn't it? I said, Sheriff Castle, I says, according to God's word, it's going to get worse. And he looked at me like, you know, he Castle wasn't scared of anything. He looked at me like, you got to be kidding. And I had the opportunity to share with him what the Bible said about the things that are going to happen in this world. Your boys that you're raising now, brother, and you, the girls that you guys are raising, they are not going to see America like we saw it, which breaks my heart. I remember that most people didn't have a loan. And they lived within their means. And Dad never brought a John Deere tractor unless he paid cash for it. That's totally impossible to take because John Deere tractor costs anywhere from $150,000 on. We live in a society that we owe, and the Bible says when you owe, you are indebted to them. And it really makes life tough.
Amen.
Really makes life tough. And I remember we didn't even have a key for our house.
Right.
Lock our house? Now, Mom and Dad could lock their bedroom. I never understood that until Marcia and I got married, why we locked the bedroom. But that was only locking the house. Well, maybe the bathroom. You can walk in a man's house and walk out of a man's house without being locked. You don't do that today. Now you got push buttons, you got turns, you got cameras, you got locks. I told my mother-in-law one time, I said, Mom, good night. She had three locks on her door. And I said, I'm going to promise you, Grandma, they come and get you. When they get to daylight and they see you, they'll bring you back. But anyway, that wasn't nice, was it? She thought it was funny. I want to give you a brief history of what's going on here. First of all, before the world was spoken into existence, the devil, Satan, and a third of the host of heaven rebelled against the Holy One of heaven. And God kicked them out of heaven and put them in hell and put them in chains. Now, number one, God spared not. And I want you to understand this because there's a lot of people that don't think that God means what He says and says what He means. And I want to set this straight. I want to be very careful with this. When God says He's going to do something, I'll guarantee He's going to do it. And when Satan and the angels rebelled, He kicked them out of heaven and put them in hell and chained them. And God spared not the angels. And God will not put up with insubordination. He will not accept rebellion. Psalm 103, verse 9. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. That's the same way at home. Your kids, kind of once in a while, they push your button, and they keep pushing your button, and you keep pushing your button, and all of a sudden, that button ignites something and it explodes inside of you. And you're a pretty even keel guy, but after they keep pushing your button, and you told them no, 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 and you say, what don't you understand about that two-letter word, no? A sit down! Or quit that! Or be quiet! Or go to your room! And I'll be there in a few minutes. After I've composed myself, then I'll become the judge and executioner. Never yell at your kid when he's yelling at you because you've just lost control yourself. Amen. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. And God will not put up with it. And God says He will not always chide. He will not always continue to have mercy. There's a time that's it. And that happens in your family. By the way, God said we're made in His image. And the things in our lives, we let things go. Finally, it says, I can't let it go anymore. I've got to take care of this. Because if I don't take care of this, this child is going to be a rebellious child. And not only that, he will not understand that in the future, I may not be there to control him, but there's going to be somebody that is going to be controlling you. We had a kid in our church one time. He got so mad at his dad, he jumped out of the plate window of the front of the house. Just jumped out! I guess he saw it on TV, I don't know. But on TV, they use special glass. This is regular glass, and he jumped through this big window. Somehow, he got through it without cutting himself. I don't understand, but it happened. Dad called the police, said, come take my boy. He will not listen to me. Boom, they picked him up. Boom, they took him over to juvenile detention center. Boom, they called me. Hey, preacher, we don't know what to do with our boy. Can you help us? And I wanted to tell his dad, you should have started when he was 2 years old. But anyway, we got the juvenile detention center, and I walked in, and the father walked in, and they brought the boy in. They sat down, and this great big guy, he looked like a Vietnam reject. He had a great big beard. He looked like Rip Van Winkle that just woke up. He is a massive man. A massive man. He's got tattoos all over. And he looked at that boy and he said, "Now, son, real nice. Now, son, we just brought you in here to talk to you." Now, this is the way it works. Either you obey your daddy, and he knew me, he says, and your pastor, or you're going to have to deal with me. But all through life, you're going to have to deal with people in authority. And when he said that, his belly caught on his desk when he stood up. And that desk just about come over on top of us. He goes, "I'll tell you, you're going to obey me. I'll throw you in jail, and you won't even see the..." I mean, he just unloaded on this kid, and this guy goes like this. I've never seen a guy shrink in my life. I mean, I was scared. But you're going to have to obey something. Either they obey you, or they obey the government. And if they don't obey the government, they'll put them someplace that they'll learn that they have to obey. By the way, that same kid says, "I'm out of the house. I'm tired of being told what I'm doing. I'm joining the Marines." But anyway. Satan and his ungodly hosts were cast out of heaven, stripped of their blessings and damned forever, by the way. God will not put up with insubordination. God will not put up with disobedience. And it proved it right there. God said, "Okay, you don't want to follow me? Okay for you. You go to hell. You burn forever." The second point in the scriptures we find is God did not spare Adam and Eve when they sinned. God is very serious about his laws. And man was unwilling to enjoy the fruits that God had given and intended them to eat. God said, in essence, "These are your trees. This is my tree. You can have all you want, but you can't have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's my tree. You cannot touch it. I mean, you can't eat out of it. You can touch it, but you can't eat out of it." Satan, of course, came around and said, "You can't touch it." God never said you can't touch it. God said you can't eat it. And because of the rebellion, they ended up taking that fruit. And as God had promised them, they lost everything they had. They lost their home. They lost their sinlessness. They lost their fellowship with the Holy God. They lost the sweetness of childbearing. They lost the pleasure of work. And it became sweat of the brow and weeds and thistles. I don't know about you, but I got a sure bunch of those in my yard right now. Thanks, Adam. We had a little old lady named Elsa Chester. I don't know if you remember her or not. Elsa was 90-some years old. We had a birthday party for her. 96, I believe. She got saved here and baptized at 94. And at 95, 96, we had a birthday party for her. Well, after that, she moved into the Cambridge Court, and I would speak at the Cambridge Court once a week up there. And since I was her pastor, she took over the Bible study and said, "This is my pastor." She's very, very, very obnoxious about it, I guess. And one day I said, "Folks, what are you going to do when you get to heaven?" And somebody said something. I said, "Elsa, what are you going to say?" "I'm going to go over and whack Eve." Boy, they caused us a lot of problems, amen? Lost the pleasure of work. And finally lost their lives. And they went back to ashes and dust to dust. Because of why? They did not follow what God told them to do. Now, I'm getting there. Just hang on now. Third point I want to make, God spared not the world, Noah's flood. The Bible says man did that which was evil in the sight of God continually. And God said, he looked down and he saw the evil that was going on in this world. And says, that's enough. And the Bible said it grieved God that he made man. Isn't that terrible? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing that your parents said, it really grieves me that your mom and I made you? Wouldn't that break your heart? Can you imagine saying that about your child and saying, you know, I wish we had never had children. I know some parents that feel that way. I know some parents that they're grieved so bad because their children are unwilling to come under the responsibility that they have to honor their father and their mother, and it breaks their heart, and everything the parent has done for them just seems like it turns into trash and garbage. And they run around and do crazy things and act like an idiot, and that is not the way mom and daddy intended you to be raised up. And some of you have just a crazy hair in you, or you got a demon or something, I don't know what it is, but you just keep going against the principles of the Word of God. And the parents finally sometimes will get on their knees before the bed and go, oh God, why in the world did we ever bring this child into the world? It's a hellion. That's what God said about mankind. He says, it grieved him that he made man. I hope I'm not a grief to my Heavenly Father. I hope I don't grieve God. Say, I wish I'd never let him be born. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? But I think some of us do. And he destroyed all the living, breathing animals. Did you know that the animals before the time of Noah weren't afraid of you? It breaks my heart every time I go out and feed these birdies and I feed them. I feed them. $18.50 a bag, amen. And they think that we got the golden corral in the back of our house. And they're eating free on me, amen. But I watch these birds and I just love watching them, but I have to hide in the corner to watch them because if I get close to them, they're gone. Did you know before Noah that did not happen? The Bible says when it happened after Noah, it caused the animals to fear God. I think what happened was they were in the ark too long and said, we ain't going to get close to those guys again, amen. Do you think of the ark? I'm a farm boy, brother. I was wondering how in the world I'd get a tractor in there and get the manure out of there. What a mess. But anyway, the fear of man, it caused man to have four seasons. I was thinking of you, brother, about you and your golf. God gave us four seasons. We never had four seasons before this. God literally changed the whole environment of the planet world and rainfall instead of God's unique watering from below. And glaciers became to form and dredged the earth and cutting great fjords and valleys and mountains into shape. And snow began to fall. There you go. Mankind went against God. God said, okay, I will not spare the world. The world did not look what it looks like today in the time just before the time of Noah. And God did not spare Babel. Genesis chapter 11, verse 9. God means what he says and says what he means. He tells you what we're supposed to do and we're supposed to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Man felt that he could get to God his own way. So man began to burn brick and made structures and headed up to heaven. Now, you and I know that had been impossible, but they did not. And they were really building quite a place. Man thought because of their ingenuity that he was as good or even better than the Creator God. Sounds like a lot of those people live here today, don't they? We know what's better in life. Man thought, because of their ingenuity, they could do better than God, and they thought that they were as wise as God, and they could do anything they wanted to do. Wrong answer, amen. And God confused the languages. And that's where we got our German and Greek and Latin and Spanish and wara-wara. I love just saying that. That's Northern Samoa people in the Philippines speak wara-wara. Did you think that was neat? Well, laugh or something. What are you writing? Are you writing a letter to your girlfriend or something? I got eyes behind my back, brother. I also want you to know that God did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah, and this, of course, is a topic of today that the world is trying to fight and trying to shove down our throats. It's okay for a man to be with a man, a woman to be with a woman. Let me tell you something that don't work. The Bible says it's very inconvenient. And he said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6 that he made this an example. May I have your attention and your heart for a minute? Please don't send me emails and facts or stop me and tell me an off-cutter joke about some perverted, ungodly, sodomized lifestyle and think that I'm going to laugh at it. I'm not going to. I'll give you a reason. First of all, you'll embarrass me and I'll probably embarrass you when it's all over with. You say, oh, I know, you're one of them homophobics. What in the world that thing is, I don't know. If I had a gun, I'd shoot it. No, I'm not. I do not hate the sodomite. Now listen to me. It's plastered all over the world that that Baptists hate the sodomites. That is untrue. I do not hate these people, and I won't go on record today. But I do despise and hate their practice. It's very disgusting to me. And it ought to be disgusting to any human being. Amen. You turn loose a bunch of sodomites, I'll guarantee you, a generation, there ain't no more kids, because that don't work that way. I'm disgusted. I hate their practice. And by the way, you have a reason why you should not listen to that filth when people want to tell you a joke about that. I'll give you some reasons, okay? I just happen to have a Bible with me today. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E, Bible, amen. God's holy Word. It's who created us, who wrote this, to tell us how to get through life. It's our tech order. It's our handbook. You ever bought a new car? You know how to turn off your emergency flashers? You can't find the button? My little sweet wife, my son bought her a brand new PT Cruiser. She was driving home from Shields one day. Like this. I don't know if she was in a parade or what. She said, honey, I cannot find the button. And I said, get your owner's manual. She pulled over. Oh, there it is. It was just on the underside. You couldn't see it. This is the owner manual. The President of the United States does not dictate what I believe spiritually. Nor does his crew of people who want to destroy our nation and the biblical principles of the Word of God. I honor my president. I call him president. I don't call him Obama. I call him President Obama. He has a right to be respected. But I also have a responsibility to pray for him. Yep. It's not my job to kick him and bruise him. My job is to pray for him that God would take care of it. I love America. I paid taxes this year. I paid what I had to pay. And what I was supposed to pay. Because I love police protection, fire protection. I love clean water. I love eating in clean restaurants. I enjoy living in America. I love jumping on the interstate, especially on my motorcycle. But anyway, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. This is why I tell you that I hate what they're doing, their practice. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication, the word fornication means any kind of sexual deviation or sin. It's just, when you say that, it covers a whole big base of things, okay? It's synonymous to many things. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetous, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Hey, if you take Ephesians 5:3, write it down in the back of your Bible. You'll never tell another off-color joke about a sodomist or some kind of immorality. That's what the Bible says. You say about preacher. Those are funny things. Why is it always the funny things that are filthy things? Because they're to shock you, and things that shock you make it funny. But God's Word said, but fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be named among you as become a saint. I'll take care of the whole thing. By the way, if you don't get that one, I'll give you another one. Verse 12 of chapter 5. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. Flee fornication. Remember the word fornication? It encompasses all different kinds of sexual sins. Every man that doeth it without the body, but he that committeth fornication, any act of sexual sin, sinneth against his own body. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from... Listen to that. You ought to read in your Bible. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin. They can't. They just can't quit. I'll tell you how they can quit. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me. The Bible says he'll make a new creation in you. He'll change your heart. If you're a liar before you got saved, you'll still be a liar after you get saved, but you'll have the power of the Holy Spirit to be there to help you and encourage you not to do that. Amen. Amen. The worldling says, I'll lie to get by. The Christian says, I will not lie, but if I do lie, I will come to a holy God and I'll ask him forgiveness. And if I've lied to a brother or sister, I'll come to them and ask them to forgive me. That's the difference. That's the difference. Exodus chapter 23, verse 13. In all things that I have said unto you, by circumspect, and make no mention of the names of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Even the Old Testament God says, don't even talk about these gods. Don't mention them. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Am I supposed to talk about off-colored things? Absolutely not. God says, don't do that. No, you can't. Now, here's a warning. Womp, womp, womp. Boy, I wish Chad had those things up. I'd put that on the screen. Warning, warning, warning. Would that be good? There was this morning at 7 o'clock, there was a Amber Alert. Good night. I about jumped out of my skin. I never heard one before. but many of your iPhones make it do that and tell you the Kalispell, somebody was abducted. And wouldn't it be great if we could just do that? There's a warning. Listen, Christian, beware. Christian, beware. Just Lot, vexed with their filthy conversation, the conversation of the wicked, dwelling among them, seeing and hearing. Let me ask you this. How many believe that you live in a world today like Sodom and Gomorrah? Would you raise your hand? You're absolutely correct. Therefore, if you're living in a place like Sodom and Gomorrah, you are not only seeing it, but you're hearing it. Dr. Tom Williams said a great statement. He said, my granddad, he said, I see more flesh today of ladies' bodies than my granddad in one day than my granddad seen in a lifetime. Amen. We're in trouble. We're in trouble. Now, God says this, and I'm going to bring it closer. God says, these are the things that you've got to be careful for, because I'm telling you, you don't do that stuff. Amen? Okay. He also says, there's things that I'm telling you that you are supposed to do. And the most important thing that you'll ever do in your life for Jesus Christ, just tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the message today. All these things that mankind did, God took care of them. And God did not spare them. And let me tell you something today. God will not spare you from being disobedient and dishonest about your charge as a Christian to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We need to be real about our Christian missionary experience. If you can't go, then you work two jobs to get somebody else to go. You work so hard that you're praying that your child or your children go to the mission field. You beg God. Say, dear God, please, I beg you, I can't go. There's a little lady that believed God called her to the mission field. And things changed in her life and things that seemed like God said, what I want you to do is I want you to raise your children to serve God. And on January 20th, 1947, this dear little lady gave birth to a little baby boy. This little baby boy had some problems. He was what they call a blue baby. He had a hole in his heart. The doctor came in to her and said, your son is not getting enough oxygen. The blood is not going through his lungs like it should. It's bypassing. And he has a hole in his heart. And he'll probably be able to have him for, if he makes it, maybe 7 to 12 years. He'll be a very sickly child. And you'll have to be very careful how you bring him around other people because he'll get sickness very quickly and die very quick. The doctor walked out of the room and she picked up her Bible. She was a godly lady. She went to Bible college. And she turned to 1 John chapter 5. And verse 14. And she read this. And this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And she said, it just seemed like, it wasn't audible, it just seemed like God says, you know, I could heal him too. And she said, dear God, you can take him right now. Because I know you are perfect and you've never made a mistake. Or, we'll take the great responsibility of raising this sickly child. God kept saying, I could heal him, you know. And she said, or you could heal him. She no more finished that prayer with her Bible laying on her lap in that hospital bed. The doctor rushed in and says, we don't know what happened, but your baby is healed. We don't understand it. Amen. He was an atheist. When I was in college, I was 19 under ambulance, and I was in the emergency room, and that same doctor came up to me and says, Sheldon, come here. And he brought five doctors around me, and they put their stethoscope on my heart and says, I don't understand what happened. This boy was a blue baby. He should have never made it. But he says, now listen, this is an atheist. He says, all I can remember is a mother with her Bible in her lap opened. It's amazing what God can do, amen? And so now God has given me the opportunity to live my mother's life as a preacher and missionary to serve God. Amen. You have no idea who's sitting next to you in that seat today. It may not all work out like it did with me. It may be your child will be sick the rest of his life. But I will guarantee you God makes no mistakes, and he knows exactly what he's doing with you. If you just get your hands off the reins and let him drive. And just say, dear God, I want to do what you want to do. But God does call you to missions. And that's your call. And you can't get away from it. You can't run from it. There will always be a call in your heart. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I hope that in the next couple of weeks as we have our mission conference, that God will really deal with you in your heart and your life. And you'd turn loose a lot of things and just say, dear God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'm willing to go any place you want me to do. I go any place. It's so great to be able to be where God wants you to be. It's an amazing thing. Father in heaven, I pray today that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, you're so gracious to us. And many times we have failed you. Many times we have gone against the principles of the Word of God. And many times we have not carried on the things that we should have carried on. But Lord God, you are a merciful God, and you allow us to get back into step. You allow us to get back in that marching order, back in that column to just keep on right, left, right, left, right, left. I pray, Heavenly Father, today there'd be anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they have a home in heaven, that today they would take care of it. Because as we have seen today, that God did not spare the devil. God did not spare Adam and Eve. God did not spare this world with Noah. God did not spare Sodom and Gomorrah. And he will not spare when a man is unwilling to do what you tell him to do. You have called men and women and boys and girls to salvation. You said, behold, today is the day of salvation. You said that you would not that any would perish, but all would come. You said, for whosoever will. So I pray today there would be anyone here not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven. Today would be that day that they would call upon you and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. There's no question about that. Forgive my sins and come into heart and be my Savior. Lord, I pray you'd speak to the hearts of the people today. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But boy, I'd sure like to pray that today. Right there where he said, why don't you pray this prayer? Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right now. And if you did that once, you thank him. Say, thank you, Jesus, for saving my